Welcome to another edition of Girls on Film, a podcast where two ladies talk about movies. I'm your host, Liz Whittemore, and with me, back from a long hiatus, is my lovely co-host, my managing editor, partner, and my very good friend, Melissa Hansen. Hi, Melissa.
Hello.
Oh, it's so nice to have you back and so that we can have some nice chatter. Tonight, we are talking about the new Steve Jobs documentary. So it's called Steve Jobs, The Man and the Machine. And it's Alex Gibney's new documentary. And I think we can both agree that it's an extraordinarily well-done film. It is a solid, what, two-plus hours right now, if I remember correctly?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a solid film. And he does a really wonderful job going from, you know, Steve Jobs' very, very beginning all the way through his death. And, in fact, the first thing that we address is Steve Jobs' death. And I think Gibney was coming from a point where he sort of asked a question where why, after Steve Jobs' death, was he treated like a god, like this pop culture icon? And the film sort of discusses the difference between Jobs' public persona and his personal persona. So I think this is like the perfect opportunity for us to come back together and do a podcast together because you and I have different takes on Apple as a company. And I will say from my perspective, once I think about the third generation of the iPod came out, I was done with the company in the respect of having to buy new items to plug my, you know, my player in and, you know, upgrading iTunes. And I just, for me, I left that machine behind. I am an admitted Android user and I am very happy. So for me, watching this film was a whole different take on the whole iconography around the company. But for you, Mel, you have the totally opposite take, right?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I've basically had some sort of Apple project in my life, you know, since probably around third grade. In third grade, I was in school and we would use them for math problems. So we had this, you know, little, I think it was a donkey and some apples or something. And it was, you know, like a little game. So, I mean, I was totally exposed to them early. My mom had a Commodore 64. She had a Tandy. We did a little bit of programming. Yeah. I did a little bit of programming in school. Nothing major, just that they used to have a balloon that would go across the screen like in DOS. So I was really comfortable on both platforms from a very early age. In high school, I used Macs. They had a lab where we, mostly for like word processing documents and stuff.
Right.
And then when I went to school, I went to the University of Missouri, and I believe they had a contract with Apple. So all of their computers were Apples. So once again, I used those for all of anything that I needed them for. At the time, it wasn't much. It was mostly like email. I did a lot of chatting, things like that. When it finally came around time for me to buy my own computer, you know, like, I had basically been exposed to both for a long time. I had worked in a couple of different jobs where Apple was seen as the elite to have for any sort of graphic design and things like that. And I was working in a graphic design position. So it was completely natural for me to just choose a Mac over anything else. I went with that. And, you know, that was 10 years ago. And so, you know, once, you know, I moved to New York and, you know, I first had just like a, you know, regular, I think I had a BlackBerry and then, you know, then the iPhones come out and I, of course, was just like, great, I'll take an iPhone. And from there, you know, have kind of, you know, I have an iPad now, I have a MacBook Pro. They just all work so well together that, you know, it's for me, it's like kind of a no-brainer. I totally get what you're saying about the different, you know, things to have to buy for anything, but I almost attribute that to like the cost of doing business in a way.
Sure,
the price of upgrading. That sort of an aspect. So for me, and you know, granted, I love Apple products and, you know, the stuff that I have and everything, but I don't think it's as deeply personal. I've tried not to make it as deeply personal. I do find myself sometimes like coming to the defense of this and trying to reason why I'm really doing that, but it's almost like it's just like innate or something.
Yeah, I think if you put yourself into that culture, it's just something that you do and you don't really think about it until someone has sort of an opposition to it, you know? And it's funny, I remember when you got the new phone and I got my new phone and we were sitting next to each other and we were kind of like, oh, I like that feature. And then the other one would say, oh, I like that feature. So it's just a different, you know, for different reasons, we have what we have. And I just, I loved the fact that he opens the film with that question of sort of this, the alone together phenomenon that is becoming our culture, regardless of whether it's Apple or not, just smartphones in general. And it was really fascinating, really fascinating.
I know. I almost think it's, the movie sort of sucks you in with the thought of it going to be like about, you know, like Steve Jobs, and it is to a lot of, in a lot of aspects, but, you know, it does beg that bigger question of just us and electronics in general. And I think that's going to be a natural step of some sort of documentary in the future to really dive into that.
Yeah, it was interesting. I remember when Google Glass came out. I was fascinated by it, but terrified by it because we're so in our technology. We're so, you know, we don't pay attention as it is. And so I thought this is going to be an absolute disaster. And then I actually had the opportunity to try on and test a pair of Google Glasses, which you're totally not supposed to do, but, and I won't say them to me because that would be awful. But the point is they were incredible and they were pretty seamless and amazing. And I get it. But I also think it's very interesting that they are not mainstream yet. And I don't know where that project is going. So in the meantime, you know, the majority, I would say, and I don't know what the statistics are and I could look them up, but I would say the majority of people have Apple products still.
Well, I think it varies. Like, for instance, in New York, it seems like it's much more prevalent. I know whenever, I've traveled, you know, back home, back to Missouri, that is definitely not the case. And I think a large part of that has to do with the fact that there's not an Apple store in small areas.
Right.
Apple stores
right.
are in large urban centers and.
Yep.
That's kind of where they're going to, you know, like otherwise you have to order it online. You can't directly touch these things. I mean, where I am from, the closest Apple store is 4 hours away.
Oh, wow.
I mean, granted, now you can go into like Best Buy and look at them, but it's a completely different experience.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, an Apple store is its own thing. Like it's not a retail store.
Oh, no, it's a playground when you go in there.
Yeah.
That's an electronic playground. And I admit, I still go in and I look around and I see, you know, what the new product is, even though I know what the new product is because their marketing department is wonderful. I have to give them absolute full credit. So they definitely have some of the most imaginative marketing, like their marketing department is incredible. And I don't think that there is any other electronic conglomerate that is as successful, you know, at giving you what the American dream is, so to speak. It's, they do a really good job, I have to admit. And it's funny because by now I feel like I should know that it's going to be an Apple commercial. And every time I watch and I see a new ad come out and I think, oh my God, this is a beautiful ad. Like, this is brilliant. I love this. And then it ends up being Apple. I'm like, damn it. But they do a wonderful job. Their branding is got to be one of the best in the world. So,
Well, and I think part of it too is that, you know, because, you know, people, I think with Gibney was going for is like, you know, why do people, you know, affix so such kind of affection, you know, when he died and when Jobs died. But I think, you know, he made himself the face of the company. When you
Absolutely.
Think Google, there's no one person you, like, who would you say Google is? No, nobody. Who would
nobody.
You say Apple is? It's Steve Jobs.
Right, exactly.
Like, there's, like, and people may know Tim Cook, who, you know, who's the new, you know, Steve
right.
Jobs, so to speak, but he's not.
Right.
Like,
right.
There's, Steve Jobs was always associated that way. And
Absolutely.
He had an immense, you know, like, responsibility in a lot of aspects, which I think, you know, Gibney definitely touches on, you know, where he failed in a lot of aspects. But I think we're at a point now where we've lost that face of innovation and technology.
Yeah.
There's no one out there saying, okay, this is the next big thing. I mean, yes, they can show us products, but there's nobody out there with that passion. Like, I mean, you could tell he really had that passion.
I mean, I will absolutely 10,000% give him that. He created a brand that was, you know, is loved by billions of people and put himself as the face. And we always knew there was a big announcement. He would get on stage and do these talks and, you know, they were very intricate and they were beautifully done. Tons of work went behind them. And what I think was the most fascinating part of the film is that you get to see those, but you also get to see the majority of the film is everything you didn't see or you don't see in the public. And that mm-hmm. was very eye-opening in a lot
oh, yeah.
of ways. The idolatry for this man, and I get it. I understand it. But going back and seeing his history, his personal history, with his family members and his friends and coworkers, it will rock your world. It will
yeah,
rock
and,
your
I
world.
Mean, it's very jarring, and you know,
yes.
just even like the mention of his basic like non philanthropy,
right? Yeah,
is really tough, and it's really you know, and I think. And what I thought was also good about Gibney's voice was that he didn't point out, you know, as saying like Apple products are horrible, you know, because of these certain reasons. It's really talking about this industry in general. And it's also, it's shedding light on how all these things that are made for us are put together in places and people with cheap labor and, you know, all that kind
right.
of stuff. And we
yeah.
all know it. We ignore it.
Right. Yes, exactly. Well, it's more convenient to ignore.
Yeah.
It's much more convenient to, we have our product. We don't want to think about where it comes from. That was another fascinating aspect is, you know, they go to the factories and they talk to the people and they tell you stories about the workers. And, you know, I mean, there's some shocking stuff in there. Really, really
yeah.
shocking. Really uncomfortable to watch, regardless of whether you are, you know, a fan or not. It's really uncomfortable to watch
yeah.
and to really have that exposed. And it'll be very, I'm so interested in people's response to this
mm-hmm.
because I'm just wondering if there's going to be sort of this taking sides perspective in people's reactions. You know,
yeah.
will people care once they see it? I'm so curious. I'm dying to talk to people about it. In fact, you guys can leave us comments once you see the film or if you just have an opinion in general. We'd love to hear from you. You know, what's your experience with Apple? What's your experience outside the company? We really want to hear from you because we think this is a really interesting documentary. It's the perfect follow-up, too. Gibney is not afraid to go there. So to speak. This guy has no fear. He's completely unapologetic. We got to do a Q&A with him afterwards. He's incredibly articulate, knows what he's talking about, very down to earth. But yeah, this is follow up to Going Clear, Scientology and the Prison of Belief. And another aspect that I really enjoyed about this is his use of graphics are awesome. both from Going Clear, which was great. And if you haven't seen it yet, shame, you should. But the graphics that he used were how would you describe the graphics in this? They're sort of like text screens that come up and get filled in as if you're typing. But I felt like, and I could be wrong, were they progressing in technology and aspect as the story progressed as well? I can't remember.
Now that you mention it, I think it really was.
Yeah, each graphic displayed the time period and the technology that they were developing at whatever point in time Gibney was referencing, which it goes in order, for the most part. So I thought that was absolutely stunning and brilliant, and he does an amazing job with that, because it keeps you in the story, you know, keeps you in on track sort of subconsciously, you know? He's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, in his narration especially, I mean,
yes.
There's a lot of documentaries that, you know, don't use narration, and they,
right.
you know, they rely on the interviews, which
right.
all can work on its own completely. This is just a different type. And
mm-hmm.
I think it brings it, it makes it more personal. It definitely has a voice. You know, it used to be that documentaries are very straightforward, very PBS, very Ken Burns and factual. And
right.
those also are fantastic. But Gibney definitely he brings it, this is his documentary. This is his thoughts and his, you know, ideas on things and wanting in his questions to be answered. So
exactly.
They're really personal sort of films for him. And
mm-hmm.
I find them to be, yeah, just really, really engaging and feel very like everyday man, like everyman sort of a thing.
Yeah, they really are. They're not over your head. They're not contrite. They're very accessible, but in a brilliant way. I mean, I'm such a big fan of him. I mean, if he doesn't, I would be surprised. I'm genuinely surprised if he doesn't get nominated again for this.
Yeah.
I think it's very, very, I mean, we've seen some great docs this year, but this is great. This is really, really, really well done. I mean, I genuinely have not a single negative thing to say about it from every aspect, from every angle. The way that it's edited is brilliant. You know, he tries really hard to show you every angle, different people's perspectives, a lot of interviews. I don't know. I just thought it was brilliant. From start to finish.
Well, and this what's really great about this doc is it, you know, it comes out in theaters and on demand. So, you know, if you're not near a major metropolitan area with, you know, that's playing this, you
right.
can watch it.
Yeah.
And also, this is not to be confused with the narrative, not
right.
documentary, coming out in a little over a month.
Right.
Steve Jobs, directed by Danny Boyle, Michael Fassbender, Kate Winslet, Seth Rogen. That's coming out October 9th. So
yeah, and I think that'll be a really interesting film to compare this with, because so rumor has it that the narrative version is very much influenced, I will say for now, influenced by the company itself,
mm-hmm.
and they were
mm-hmm.
yes, so they were very much involved with creating that narrative. And this, the documentaries, they absolutely were not involved in creating that. Although he gets some of the most brilliant perspectives of people from the inside. So that's what makes it so incredibly beautifully balanced as a doc. So, and Melissa and I are actually going to get to see, the documentary at New York Film Festival this year. So I'm pretty excited about that. That should be good. And we'll talk a little bit more about that and then, have you guys, respond with, your likes and dislikes between the two, because I think the timing is amazing. And, that was certainly one of the questions that was asked to Alex Gibney while we were in the Q&A. The timing was very interesting, but I think it's also completely brilliant that the two are coming out, you know, within a month of each other. I'm eager to see the difference. I believe the narrative is more based on Isaacson's book, the one that just came out relatively not that long ago. And Alex was asked if he had read the book, and he said, "I have read the book." And that's pretty much all he said. So it was great. Great to get that reaction without him being, you know, it was awesome. We had a great time with the Q&A. So we'll certainly take pictures from that as well.
I re-listened to the Q&A, and he did say that there was he thinks that there were people who were told not to speak with him for the documentary. He had a hard time, you know, getting certain people to talk to him just because, you know, it wasn't influenced by Apple.
Right, exactly.
So that's probably something very important for, I mean, not just for non-Apple fans, but for, you know, anyone.
Exactly.
No one likes to have that sort of corporate over, especially right. When it comes to a documentary.
Right. And I will say, you know, there's a lot of other companies that are mentioned in a lot of the different aspects of, like, maybe perhaps some of the shadier business dealings. It's not just Apple that's called out. It's very specific large companies.
Oh, yeah, so that's true. That's really eye-opening.
Yeah, it's really eye-opening. So you'll be well informed when you walk away. And like I said, you know, this is because it's not a narrative. These are all facts. Like, there's no arguing with the timeline. There's no arguing with court documents. You know, these are real life things that happened, mm-hmm. and that continue to happen. So, that is why I'm so eager to hear what everybody else thinks. I think, it'll be a conversation starter for sure. I'm hoping that they, do viewing parties and then go out and discuss it later. Cause I would love to be a fly on the wall for those conversations. So.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think we were big fans, and so we are highly recommending Steve Jobs, The Man in the Machine, Alex Gibney's new documentary. And any final thoughts, Melissa, before we go?
If you see it, please let us know what you're thinking. I want to know. I want to know, are you a user? You know, why are you a user? Let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to have you go to our Facebook page at Real News Daily on Facebook, and you can upload video responses if you want. Anything that you want to say, and we are totally open to it. So go see the movie. We recommend it. It's fantastic. And so this is another episode of Girls on Film. So for Melissa Hansen and myself, a little more, we are signing off, and we'll talk to you next time.